You are listening to the Hirschsprung's Hour on UK Health Radio, where I interview incredible people with a connection to Hirschsprung's disease and other associated conditions, such as IBD, IBS, Crohn's, colitis, and ulcerative colitis. Each week, I bring you a new and exciting interview with people from all walks of life, including charity founders, models, and professional sports people. We go through the ups and downs of having Hirschsprung's with a positive message throughout. Hello and welcome to episode 60 of Tom's Hirschsprung's podcast. I have a very special guest with me. She is a devoted mother of three, an entrepreneur, and also the author and founder of the Abilities in Me Foundation. Welcome to the podcast, Gemma Keir.
Thank you. Nice to see you all. Not that I can't see everyone, but I will. They can see me.
But they'll see you. You just won't see them. It's strange like that. But thank you so much for coming on. Now, in this episode, we will talk about various different things to do with your foundation, your books, one book especially in particular, but we'll leave that for the sort of midway through the episode. But if you'd like to take us to the beginning, really, because as we mentioned at the start, you're the author and founder of the Abilities in Me Foundation. How did that all kick off? How did that start?
So that we go back now to the year of 2018, and Logan, he was very young at the time. He was in reception at school. He was nonverbal, and I remember he'd only just been diagnosed not so long ago with 22q deletion, which we were learning about ourselves as parents. But I didn't really have anything to explain to him what it was that he had. But then the children in his school, they would come out and say, oh, Logan was taken out of class today, or Logan doesn't talk to me. And I started to go, oh, okay, maybe I could make like a PowerPoint presentation. And I just failed miserably at trying to put together a PowerPoint presentation because I didn't know really what to write or how to put it. And then when I was writing things down and putting them on what they called like speech bubbles and graphs and things.
Yeah.
It just didn't seem like the children would grasp it at that age, and it was a bit too much of an overload, which, you know, we always get with the doctors ourselves as the parents. They overload you with medical jargon. And I was like, no, this doesn't look right. And then I thought, you know what, I'm going to make a little book. Just thinking of like a little book I'd put together on Vistaprint. You know, we don't, even now, what we've got now, all these apps and everything, we didn't have them back those years ago. It wasn't long ago, but we didn't No, it wasn't. But even just to make up something called Vistaprint, and you had to use that Word document. And again, I was just like, oh, I wonder if I could find somebody that does like illustration or children's images. And my friend Elizabeth on Facebook, she was like a social media friend that I found through the heart community when Logan had heart surgery. She said, oh, my husband's a children's book illustrator. Like, have a chat with him. So I messaged him and I told him sort of the idea of wanting to do Logan a book, and then potentially, you know, like having other characters, I think, within the book, or maybe do some more books around other children to help them. So he was like, oh yeah, we could do that. We put down the original cost to get the book made, because he could do all the illustrations and then he could format it into basically a book for me. So I then went on to social media because he sent me an image of Logan and then a cover image, which was our very first original image with five characters. And that was sort of the vision. And that went straight onto social media. I hadn't even written the book. I was just like, this is the Abilities in Me. I'm going to write a book for Logan on 22Q. And within days, I had 1,000 followers. So I was like, I better sit and write this book.
Now you got to deliver.
Exactly. So I then, it doesn't take me long to write. I don't know. I wasn't very good at school. I always struggled when I was in school learning my brain gets very distracted easily. Like, I'd be the girl looking out the window at the bird picking at something, and the teacher's like, Gemma. And yeah, I always struggled with that. And I got bullied at school as well. So I didn't like to be at school, and I would really struggle to ever want to go into school. And I just struggled learning in general, which now I'm older, I found out I've got moderate dyslexia. So that's probably why I never really, I found it hard and I failed all my grades. but the poetry, I've always been good at. I don't know why. I can do things in rhyme really nicely. And I found a way to write about this condition. And my mum was like, that's crazy. You know, you've written this whole poem about 22Q. Like, that's quite clever. Like, and then as I did more books over the years, again, everyone's just like, that's so amazing. Like, how do you put an entire condition and their abilities in 12 pages in a book, like, and make it rhyme, but keep it very basic? Because I wanted it to keep to Logan's attention span as well. And when we've done other books, it's keeping it to that, you know, a child's attention span, so they don't get too bored or anything like that. So yeah, we sent off for that book to be done. It got done over the Christmas period. We formatted it, and I learned how to format the book. So normally, a book illustrator, they Adam does them now for me. But when we first started the book, I took on the formatting stage. So I had to put the book, I had to download Adobe and try and work out how you format to size and print. But I did it. I don't know how. It was about 3 days of training myself on YouTube. And that's my life. I trained myself on YouTube for everything. And then we released the book. And obviously, I didn't realise there was no children's books for 22Q for children. And the book just went worldwide from Amazon through social media. And we got back quite a few thousand in royalties. And then I just turned to Adam and I was like, well, I don't need this money. Let's make another one. Let's do one for, you know, he had a son with autism. So I was like, we could do, you know, one for your son with autism. And then my other friend had a little girl with a heart defect. And my brother had type 1 diabetes. So every time a book came out, the sales from one book basically paid for the next book to get made. So it's been kind of very successful in that way, where it's gone like that. But the autism book has been my number one. It's been a number one bestseller on the autism category. It's the best-selling book I think we've ever made, because it's very common. But when we first put it out, it just didn't go out on sale. Nobody was buying it. I was like, oh no, we've worked so hard. Like, this is such a lovely book. Like, why is no one buying it? Like, it's really crazy. But then I thought, you know, I'm going to sit and do a book read video. And it went viral. And then ever since that, the book's been, like, really busy. So, yeah, it's just, yeah, I don't know if I've just drifted off into, like, a complete year old there, but that's literally how it all began. And Logan receiving the book was probably the most magical thing I'd ever seen, because he was nonverbal, but he could point, and he knew that that was Logan, and he was smiling, and he was just pointing throughout the book. And then when he started to become verbal, he actually just spoke, he can speak the book out by memory. And that was from when he was nonverbal. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's absolutely fantastic. But there's obviously different forms of media that you've used to either get your message across, or like you said, when the book wasn't selling, right, I'll do a video, I'll do YouTube, I'll do this, that, the other. So, and I know one of the things, I know we were talking a little bit as well off air, that you've learnt so many things over the span of, since 2018 and beyond. Some of the things I know you've mentioned about creating books, creating websites, I know there's lots to come in there as well. Cake baking, some logo design as well. So is this all sort of self-taught or by YouTube?
Yeah, no, because I think the ability just taught me one thing is that we always should seek what we can do. I'm a bit competitive though with the world, and I'm like, if they can do it, so can I. If someone else could do it, I can try. Like, I'm very much, I don't know, maybe because it's charitable and I've tried to save money in left, right and corner, and I'm like, okay, well, if that's going to cost £500, how much it would be free if I just sit and do it? You know, and it's like we did get a website done, but now I'm making a new website and it's going to cost the charity nothing because I'm throwing in all the time I can to make it for them. But yeah, the cake baking, I've loved it since I was little, but I've become really good at it. And I think that's my personal thing that I love to do. But yeah, with the books, like you said, like the formatting of them, the Feelings in Me spin-off, I did the logo to that because I wanted it to be similar to the abilities. So I learned Procreate at that time, and then I started learning like basic illustrations because I was like, you never know, like, if I don't have an illustrator, I could draw, but I'm not very good at drawing. I'll just try. But yeah, everything from like event planning, we've like organized major events like that have had up to 600 people come to. So a bit of skills of trades of all sorts. And everyone's always saying to me, they're like, what can't you do? I'm like, swim. I can't swim.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So that's not so bad. If you could do everything else in life but just not swim, I think most people would take that.
My husband's a lifeguard, so I'm all right.
So he can come and save you. It's all right.
He doesn't know. He laughs at me when I'm going down in the water. He'll just laugh, and I'm like...
Then maybe he won't come and save you then. Oops. But Dan, I know you touched a little bit on the feelings in me and the abilities in me. And I think that's one of the first things that struck me with the books was it's so positive, the abilities in me. Because we hear, especially a lot of the books that you've written about disabled. They're disabled because X, Y, and Z. Whereas you flipped that round and said, no, actually, there's so much positivity around these people, these children, with these conditions. How did you sort of come up with the name? What did the abilities in me?
I remember the night it came up, because my idea of it was that with the doctors and the schools and your education plans and your medical stuff, it's really stressful to hear as a parent. It's all about things your child can't do, and they can't do this, or they might not be able to do this, and they've got this condition, and it can mean this and this. And it's a real downer, even though some of it's true. It's just like, ah. But then there was just moments where I was sitting at home and Logan was just doing little things here and there, and I was just like, do you know what, he doesn't have that stress or the knowledge that we've been given yet. You know, he's just a kid. And he just wants to watch movies or play with toys and laugh and walk around and be silly. Like, he was like pointing at things in a way of communicating. And I just saw everything he did as an ability. And was like, even, you know, when he was going to the hospital and it was his ability to be strong, when he was choosing his options without being able to speak, it was his ability to find a way to communicate that, you know, he couldn't through speech. And he suffered like so much when he was little because he had open heart surgery and then he had a lot of gastro issues. He was very, very sick. And there were times where he would just be throwing up, like he couldn't keep anything in his stomach. But then he would like cuddle and then have a little giggle and a smile. And I was just like, it's just that ability to, have hope and be happy. And I don't know, there was just, yeah. And I thought, you know what, we see a lot more as parents at home than the doctors see, that, you know, the teachers might see. And I just thought that's what I want the series to be about, because I want the children to read the books, but do it through their eyes. So every time I've written a book for a child, because every book's inspired by a child in real life, I will sit with a child and I'll say, right, okay, you've got this condition. A lot of the time the children will know that they've got something, but they don't know too much.
Right.
And they'll know very basic, or they won't understand that they even have it. So I'll go to them. So abilities are things you can do, what you love to do, like what do you love to do? And they've always just got loads of information about all the things that they love. They love the park. They love going here. You know, there's a little boy that I worked with who has a tracheostomy, and a lot of people, he was being bullied, and a lot of people around him would think, oh, he can't do this and this because he's got a tracheostomy. He's like a fragile piece, you know, we've got to be very careful. He plays tennis, he loves to sing, and there was all these things, and that taught me as well, just like, wow, like you can do all these things and you've got a tracheostomy, you're amazing. But then in their eyes, it's just what they see as a child.
Yeah.
And just that needs to be educated, because I think in schools, a lot of when we go and do workshops and stuff, the children will be like, oh my God, so they've got this, but they can still do this.
Yeah.
I think
I think that's absolutely brilliant and a fantastic message. I really, 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 really like that. Really like that. If we move towards the foundation and what the foundation does, in terms of the books, I know you mentioned a little bit, they are based on real life stories. So how does that work? Do people come to you and say, can you write a book about someone with my condition, or do you go to them, or does it sort of, how does that work?
They come to me now. So I originally just had a group of friends that all had different children with different conditions. So like the first 15 books are literally my friends' kids. But they would come to me for all different things. A lot of the children had heart problems from the heart community. So our tube feeding book, our Down syndrome book, our tracheostomy book, all those kids have heart conditions, but it was like exploring outside, because we've done a book on a heart condition, and it's like, you know, what else, you know, do these children have that we could educate on? So there's some of the other books that we've done. But now, yeah, the families were coming to me like, can you do a book on this? Can you do a book on this condition? I've got over 70 in my request folder.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow.
And I've published 30 books, and there's another 70. That's 100 books.
You'll be busy for a while then.
I said to Adam, and he'll say, hey, can I borrow you till you're like 60?
Yeah. You're not retiring like ever.
No. But I just love it. And every time I've released a book. So for me personally, I like to write the book, say, for example. I like to write the book for the child and get their story and make the awareness, you know, around them. And then I love to give the book to them and see their reaction and to see them like, oh, my gosh, I'm in the book. And then what I always forget to see is that then actually it goes out to the world, and we would post up, say, oh, this book's come out, and then you start seeing kids around the world holding the same book. And obviously I don't get to see their reactions as much to reading the book, but yeah, it's just really nice. And I don't sometimes realize how big it is until we get like our report back and it's sold in Australia and all these places, and I'm like, oh wow, like loads of people have it now. So, but if it's helping them, like that's literally, if it makes them feel represented, like they're not alone, and that it helps the parent open up a conversation to them about what they've got, because it must be very confusing if you don't have sort of things to look at. And I found that with Logan, where it was like 22q, I'm like, how would I explain it? How would he understand it? If I didn't have the book now, he probably still wouldn't really know what it is because, but he embraces, like, I don't know if it's because of the book, but every time he'll do like videos and stuff, he's like, I'm Logan, I have 22Q. Like, he sort of embraces it in a way and celebrates it. And that's my message is that you can have a condition, you can go through things, you can be really brave, but you're also like got all these amazing things that, you know, you're just kids and you're out to have fun and educate people that, you know, there are so many things you can do. Not just like, oh, that child's different. You know, it's, yeah, I'm different, but I'm awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And just as well on the foundation themselves, because you're not just writing books, selling books. You do so much more than that. And just a couple of things I'd love to bring up, things like providing equipment and sensory room projects, which I think is fantastic, and donating books to hospitals and charities as well, which is fantastic. I recently saw there was a I think it was the last sensory room that you did, looked absolutely fantastic. I thought that was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, see, this is something I really want to go forward with and do more of. So we actually haven't applied for any grants as a charity, maybe just because there's a few amount of us on the team. But we're a CEO registered charity, like we should be applying for Children in Need and all these big grants and everything. But we've just literally got through with the book sales over the years. So we're not one of these charities that have a huge amount of money. But that'll change because we're going to start applying for grants this year. Because I was like, no, you know, if we, you know, the sensory room, I actually did that out of my own pocket before we registered as a charity.
Oh, wow.
That was really just because it was a school and I was like, oh, how can we give more, give back to the school, give the abilities books to it and everything. And that's a big project I'd like to go forward with, the sensory station. I'd like to put them in holiday parks, you know, where it's like a quiet space for children, but having them at events and, yeah, and then trying to install them into schools and giving schools, you know, who struggle with SEN budgets, a place for children that do have needs that might be waiting or stuck, you know, if waiting for school places, give them somewhere that they can have, that can help them and ease their brain as well, because it's such a lovely thing and helpful and resourceful.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of schools as well, you do a lot of workshops, a lot of sort of inclusivity workshops. And is that you or is that some people, members of the team that go and do all of those?
No, it's me.
Just
and Max and Margaret. But we are going online because my health isn't great this year. And yeah, I've got Logan at home ed now as well. But we were touring the UK. We did Ireland. We did Wales. We need to do Scotland.
Yeah.
But we're putting everything online this year because it's going to be the same sort of presentation. And there's going to be videos of me and Max in the corner. We're going to be putting up YouTube videos. We're going to be giving the schools actually a lot more access now, so every school can download and have an abilities workshop wherever they are. The one with me and Max in as well, which the kids always love. And yeah, I'm really excited. That's one thing I'm working on to have out around Easter time, is to have inclusive resources, the workshops, and some training courses as well that, like, I'm really focusing on courses around empathy and compassion, because I feel like a lot of staff could do with the training around empathy and compassion, whether you're dealing with, you know, a child with a disability or a family member that has it or a parent even. Just, it's a really good thing to put out there and do. So yeah, with the schools, I will get back out one day. I just need my kidney operation and my mobility back in gear. And yeah, I'm hoping there's some big things to come in the future as well. So hopefully it'll be really nice to go around to the schools and keep on educating the abilities. Because they always say, the teachers are like, you and Max are so fun. Like, I don't know how you do it, but you engage. We can engage a whole entire assembly for 45 minutes. And some of those children have been young as nursery. And they're like, we don't know how you do it. But I'm like, it's in the abilities, because it's really actually the children are like, you know, it's they want to learn what it is.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. No, I think that's absolutely brilliant. And when you said about compassion and empathy for teachers, because I was a PE teacher for a decade, and one of the things I learned whilst I was teaching is that one in four, because I mainly taught primary, one in four children have a disability of some kind. Now, it might not be a disability you can necessarily see. It might not be a disability that affects them all the time, but it is definitely there. And so in a class of, let's take 28, you'll have seven children in there who will have a disability of some kind. So that kind of empathy and compassion, I think, is just so, so important in everybody.
Yeah, it really is. And I think even, you know, shop workers and things like that, it's just taking a moment to go, oh, I've had a few, I'm trying to reach out to the holiday parks at the moment, because I had a lot of families, they'll come back and, you know, they'll say, oh, when they've gone on holiday, the biggest thing I think is the age difference. So they'll have kids clubs and things like that, or activities where you've got to be like 8 years old. But then it could be like someone like Logan, who's mentally 5-6 year old, tiny, like a 5-6 year old, wouldn't be big enough for the over eight activity because he's too small. But then they'll say, well, no, he's you know, he's too old, or he's too young. And they go by the age of it rather than the accessibility of actually the body weight or the capability of the child. So, yeah, there's still a lot more to work on. So I feel like I'm with the books and with the abilities, I feel like the abilities is so big, it could expand in so many places and help other people and educate. I think that's what in my head, it's all educate, like no matter what it is, as long as we're educating, you know, about things, then I'm there.
absolutely. And speaking of sort of one way that you've expanded the foundation is to have a patron on board. So you do have a patron, and I have interviewed her son on this podcast as well. So your patron is Denise Welch. How did that come about?
So first of all, she's amazing. She has been so, so supportive of everything. I am friends with her, with Lincoln, her husband, his brother, Duncan. I'm friends with Duncan. And I was sitting down with Duncan one night and he was like, Give me your books. I'll take them to Denise's at the weekend. And I was like, huh? He's like, yeah. I'll just take them up to her and just show her what you do or something. I was like, oh, okay. So he took them up to her house. And then the next thing, I remember like a week later, she tagged it on her Instagram. I said, oh, I've got these books. So just to have that tag from Denise Welch, I was like losing my mind. I was like, oh my God. Like, and then we started following each other. And so I think she could see more of what we were doing. And then last year, or the year before now, I can't even remember, Logan got invited onto ITV This Morning. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this is crazy. And I was really nervous. And she messaged me and she gave me a number. And she's like, message me when you go on the show. And she'll be watching. And yeah, before we went on, I was really nervous. That's another thing, even doing this now, like my chest goes tight, I get really nervous talking. Right. And we were going on the ITV This Morning and I was, even when you watch it back, I'm literally like, I'm so nervous. And she called me beforehand. She was like, just be yourself, la la la, it's fine. I was nervous too, because I was like, I don't know how Logan's going to be live on TV. Like he could go two ways. So he was absolutely fine and he was really like interested in that. And then he kept like picking up the books, trying to be like a little salesman. He's like, oh, you got this one and this one. I was like, who is this kid? Like amazing. Okay. He did such a good job. But he kicked really well with Craig, who was a presenter. And then when we came out of there, Denise rang me and she's like, You were so amazing. She's like, oh, I'm outside, by the way. I'm at the White Horse. Come down. We'll have some breakfast.
Amazing.
And I was like, oh, my gosh.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And we went out and we gave each other a hug and we were just talking, and I met her sister as well and the family, and I was telling her, you know, what I do basically and just how small it is, kind of, really, like, it's just me and my husband and like the small family. And she goes, oh, she's like, I've never offered before to anyone. She's like, but do you want me to be your patron? And I was like, yes. I was like, that'd be so amazing. And then, I didn't really know, because I, you know, I've set up a whole charity and everything, and I'm still learning now, like, how do you run a charity? What do you do? And, you know, people can ask a lot from patrons. But I just love having just Denise there that I can just text in the evening and say, hey, you know, like, it's just, she's so lovely. But just her sharing things at times, you know, just boosts things for us. And I think anything I've ever, like, tried to look at or go and do, like, we've tried to get a celebrity football match, and she'd pick up the phone and she's like, Denise Welch, like, come on, like, she's a really good person to have. But I just care about her as well. Like, I see similarities in me and her, in, like, personal ways. And I'm just, yeah, I just absolutely love everything that she's, like, sort of just been there for me and given to us. And that morning as well at the ITV studios, we came out, and I am, like, the biggest fangirl of Sam Ryder, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Legend. And we come out and he's obviously going to the studio. He's come, and I just went, ah. She's like, where? Oh, Sam, get over here. I was like, literally. So we've got this picture of, like, Sam Ryder and Denise and Neil Loder, and we're like,
that's amazing.
She was like, she'll bring him in. But yeah, and then obviously we run a choir as well, and she showed up to our local town as a surprise for the children on Christmas. And they just were absolutely, like, starstruck, because they were like, oh my God, it's like, she's actually showed up. But her husband, he's from my hometown, Lincoln. So yeah, I think it's in their heart to be around this area at times. But yeah, she's done a lot for me, in so many ways, and just to have her support and kindness, like, is everything. So, and she's amazing with the kids, and she obviously has a very big part with the Hirschsprungs community. Yes.
Absolutely. No, that's a fantastic story. I love that story so much. And you mentioned as well a little bit that she came to one of your events that you ran with the choir, which is something you've set up sort of through the foundation. Would you like to talk a little bit about how that all came about and how that's going?
So that came about because we were looking at having a community group, but the community was so big. And every time we had an event, it was like 400 to 600 people, sometimes 200, 300, 400. And in one event, I think in the summer, it was like 600. Then we had to get vendors in, and we were just doing these really big family fun day events almost every month in 1 year. And it absolutely took me to the ground. And I was like, it's so big. Like, I don't know how to help or cut people off. You don't want to include everybody and do everything, but it was a lot of money, it was a lot of time. And then so we sort of pulled back from that, but I was like, I still want to do something in the community. And there were a few other, like, community groups as well and stuff. And then my husband, who's an absolute phenomenal talented singer, who still hadn't done anything with that voice, But he just was like, well, I could run like a singing club or something. Can I just like take on any help? So I was like, okay. So then we announced the Abilities of Me Choir Club, and instantly the choir was full.
Oh, wow.
We got yeah, enough to fit them in the hall. And then when all the children first came in, one of the first things I think we did was to perform at the Christmas lights. So the kids had a month from meeting each other to learning a song and standing on the stage at the Christmas lights. And that's why Denise came in as well to support them. And from that moment, it was just like a solid, like, oh my gosh, like this is a whole new level of feeling like a community and being around the children. Because I love doing the books and like working with the children. But then having this group as well, and actually, so like me, I'm nervous more talking to you. But if I was presenting or talking to a child, so different. It's really strange. I'm like, and that's when I'm in schools as well. Like everything goes away when I'm talking to the kids. I turn into like this complete, like just me. I'm like, woo! The grown-up are more scary to talk to. No. But yeah, like just being with that group, they're finding the talent, but then also I think it's more important. Some of these children were being bullied in school, not having many friendships, and you know, it took them a few months, but now they've found their friends in the choir club. They found their voice, and it's an inclusive club, and I can't describe the connection, but just seeing them with a little talent and singing, and it gives them an opportunity. We're very laid back, like it's a very laid back club. We've actually got a signer coming in, like to do sign language with the children this year. So when we're practicing a song, she's going to teach them the sign for it. So when we do our next, like, because we always do like a little music video, and we've got a local studio where they go and they've recorded songs. So now they're on Apple Music and iTunes and Spotify. So if you look at the Abilities in Me choir, their songs are on there, which is really lovely. So we want to give them sort of that, like, oh my God, I've made a, you know, a music track. How cool is that? And I was in a music video, because a lot of these children have life-threatening conditions, and, you know, that we don't know what could happen at any point to anyone. And we want them to have those memories and look back and say, do you remember that music video? Yeah.
That's really cool. That's really, really cool. And I love the fact that it was booked out pretty much straight away. So you sort of put the advert out there, and then they all come in.
It's a free club, so.
But still, I mean, that's amazing, the amount of people that want to come. Because as you said, singing, you know, not necessarily everybody's cup of tea, can be a little bit nerve wracking for some. It would, especially for me, as I can't sing at all. And yeah, so, but to have the confidence to go and do that, and I guess that speaks volumes as well to you and Max, and how much then trust they have with you, that
yeah,
and that they feel comfortable that they're going to sing and whatnot. And I think that's amazing.
We have so this year as well, we're going to open up back up to our Hertfordshire like community, and have, or even a national, and just invite anybody to come along to like Whipsnade Zoo. Last year we went to Chesterton, we've done a day out of Gulliver's. So we do have family fun days, like just one day. But last year we just went out with the choir families, because a local company donated £5,000 to give back to the children. So we thought we would just pay and have a massive day out for them. And it was so lovely, because some of these children, you know, that they've been able to go to places like that. And it was just so nice to all come together and just have fun in that way. So we do kind of go beyond. And also as well, for the children that are like more shy or they won't sing, it's very laid back. Like, if you just want to be part of the club and like listen to the music, and, you know, sometimes some of the children won't sing, but there's no pressure. Like, we don't pressure the club at all. And we'll go, all right, we're singing along to this song. A lot of them will pick it up, because we do it over a longer amount of time. But yeah, they just have fun, and just watching them have friends and run around together and, You know, they include like the children that may have adaptions and they're in wheelchairs, and, you know, and they don't see any of that. Like, everybody's just friends, and it's just, yeah, it's a beautiful place.
So cool. That's so cool. And kudos to you for doing that, because I think that's amazing. And just as we sort of go towards the end here, just a couple of things that I wanted to mention, that you've released some more merch I've just seen recently. From that you can order from the shop. Would you like to talk a little bit about the merchandise?
Yeah, so I say it's coming soon, but when this podcast is out, it might be out already on our website, so we'll go with that. For years and years, everyone sees us wearing our Ability shirts. So we've always privately just put our logo on T-shirts for volunteers and for events and things. And everyone said, we want T-shirts, you know, we want merchandise, we want pens. And at the events, we'll do mugs and things. But yeah, I've been spending the last couple of weeks literally making up so much merch, a lot of collection items as well. Like, we were trying to make gifts for teachers and hospital teams, and yeah, and eventually I want to do collections then that match the books as well. So it could be like something that, you know, has the heart logo on it with the patch on for CHD awareness. And so sort of like an awareness collection as well would be really nice. But all the profit goes back to our foundation. So I'm just trying to find, you know, ways that, you know, things can be gifted to people, and people can represent us and the logo. And then it supports the charity in return. So everything, yeah, I've always gone out and done is for the best interests of to come back. Because then with the charity this year, their main goal is to donate the books to hospitals. And we're going to be applying for grants where we can also have a sensory pack to schools.
Mm.
So that they can receive like a book set and they can get some books in, or, you know, maybe like a sensory pack with sensory toys and the abilities books, and schools then can apply and have a pack sent to them for free. So yeah, this is why I need to apply for the grants, because I need to get out, because they can get discount if they order books, but I want the schools and hospitals to be donated packs, because it really works both ways. There's a lot of educating going on in hospitals that you don't think of. Like, the play specialist team are amazing, but they're the ones that go around. They take the abilities books to the kids, you know, if they've just been diagnosed, and they'll say, oh, you know, if you've got a tube feed, look at this book, like a little girl. And we did a hospital book recently as well, and they love it because they're like, ah, oh. So we're educating schools and hospitals. So yeah, that's my goal this year.
I love that. I love that. And you talked a little bit as well, or posted a little bit, should I say, about a YouTube channel coming soon, or the YouTube channel is up. But yeah, doing little bits and pieces with that that we'll definitely look out for as well.
Yeah, I've been trying to set up on Create Studio where it's like an intro character. I did one with Logan and then me. We're still trying to learn how that works, but it'd be really cool to sort of have that and then like reading the books. Or I might just jump on and do like a book read as me as a person, because a lot of people said it'd be nice to have an author book read. So yeah, again, it's just sort of getting the books out there, but then ways that people can just click on and watch it and the kids can learn about it. But there's so much more to do. I just got to get me and Logan's health sorted out this side of the year, and then we'll be off and keep going with everything that we set to do. And I'll be back with the books again later on this year. So
fantastic. Well, we'll definitely look out for those, because they sound like very exciting times ahead. And just very quickly as we wrap up, where can people purchase the books? Where can people find them?
So the books are... So originally we had the books just on Amazon. If you wanted to buy them in bulk with an education or hospital discount, you'd go online and submit a form. However, this year I've changed things up, where we're going to sell the books also on our website. I'm just trying to find a way to connect the printer to sell them individually, but we're going to sell the bulk orders to everybody now, so everybody can buy the entire set as a bundle, basically. That was before, it was just for education and hospitals would get a discount, but now I was like, well, no, we'll put like a certain percent off the bundle, and it will be available on our website, and then they can just order it directly rather than having to go through and do the whole invoice process. Like, try to make it easier around for everybody and give everybody a chance to, because we get parents a lot that will go, oh, I want to gift the school book set, but then there's been rules down to say, oh, it has to be the school, it has to come from the school, but I'm like, no, let's make it for everybody. So that should be here now, February, March.
Yes, end of Feb, when people are listening to this.
Yeah. Give me a target.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And where can people follow the Abilities in Me Foundation online?
So we're on Facebook, which is the Abilities in Me book series at handle. And then it's the at handle the Abilities Foundation on Instagram, which I'm trying to work with Instagram, because we've got nearly 500,000 followers on Facebook. We've got nearly 500,000 followers on TikTok. And Instagram, we've got 30K. I'm like, no, like, I'm trying. This is, again, I'm learning things. Like, I'm trying to work out how to work which app. So, yeah, we're learning that. But we, TikTok is at the Abilities Family. So TikTok is very much Logan's channel. And Logan loves going on TikTok. We've had a little bit of a breather from Christmas, because he got over nearly 800 Christmas cards from around the world.
Yes.
36 countries he reached. And there's a lot of posts. And I actually gave my hand nerve damage from opening all the letters. I'm not even joking. I had the tingle, like my hand was numb at Christmas, because I was like, it's just... Every day I was like, oh gosh, it's so much. But it's amazing. And a lot of people, and I just think, again, it's just spreading that awareness, and his joy is contagious. So, yeah, that's lovely.
Oh, that's a lovely sentiment to finish on. But I just wanted to say thank you so, so much for joining me. It has been an absolute pleasure to meet you, to have you on. And I wish you... and the rest of your family and the entire foundation, all the very, very best for the future and to what is to come.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Hirschsprungs Hour on UK Health Radio. You can find me on Facebook under Tom's Hirschsprungs Podcast, or Instagram on Tom's_Hirschsprungs_podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll bring you another episode soon.